There are two texts. The first is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And the second is from the New Testament, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. In his novel, The Brothers Karamazov, Dostoevsky describes the feelings of Mitya when, during his preliminary investigation for the murder of his father, he is forced to remove his clothes. I quote, "He felt unbearably awkward. All were clothed while he was naked. And strange to say, when he was undressed, he felt somehow guilty in their presence. And was almost ready to believe himself that he was inferior to them, and that now they had a perfect right to despise him. And what was worse, he disliked his feet. All his life he had thought both his big toes hideous. He particularly loathed the coarse, flat, crooked nail on the right one. And now they would all see it. Feeling intolerably ashamed made him at once and intentionally rapid." This passage from Dostoevsky is an undesigned confirmation of the psychological truth of the feelings experienced centuries ago by the first human couple after they had eaten the forbidden fruit. Says our first text, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." It would seem that nakedness is an uncomfortable reminder to sinful man of what he really is, a sinful man, stripped of that image and likeness of God with which God had originally clothed him. Physical nakedness symbolizes our spiritual nakedness, even as physical death is a startling reminder of our spiritual death, of our death in trespasses and sins. Granting this, it would seem to follow then that the clothes we wear every day serve as more than a protection from the elements and as more than a proclamation of our social status. They are also an unconscious effort to hide from ourselves, from others, and from God the naked truth about ourselves, that we are, in fact, creatures minus God. It is one of the ironies of history that clothing, a symbol of human shame, has become for many of us today a badge of glory. It appears that we have made a virtue of necessity. Clothes make the man is more than a truism. It is a truth. There is an amazing correlation between the way a person dresses and his success in life. Let us amend the proverb, not as a man thinks, but rather as a man dresses. So is he. Might not this ironical development suggest a further symbolic function of clothes? That they not only negatively symbolize our shame over our spiritual nakedness, but that they also positively symbolize our desire to cover that spiritual nakedness by our own efforts. Might not the well-dressed man proclaim the work righteous man? Undoubtedly, we're to consider too curiously to consider so, but it is food for thought. In one of his plays, Shakespeare portrays a certain Carolus who tries to solve his deficiencies through dress. A natural coward, Carolus decks himself out in brightly colored clothes and, admittedly garbed, he swaggers his way through the play, deceiving many with his assumed courage and masculinity until one man divines that the soul of this man is in his clothes and his whole spirit of war in the knot of his scarf. once reduced to his former ways, Pyrrhus becomes once again to his old cowardly and sniveling self. Might it not be our awareness of the self-righteousness and phoniness of clothes that accounts for the deterioration of dress, particularly on college campuses, during the past couple of decades? That is, where it is not the more likely result of sheer laziness, or slovenliness, or conforming nonconformity. If such is the case, it is a most unhappy solution. Never yet have I heard of solving a problem with another problem. To borrow the language of St. Paul, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that way is the Christ way. Christ came to clothe our shameful nakedness, to enable us to dress up not in the phoniness and gaudiness of our own righteousness, but rather in the simplicity and sufficiency of his righteousness. He came to guide us once again in his own image and likeness, to array us with, of all things, himself. It meant for him a manger, a carpenter shop, a cross, and a grave. It took a birth, a life, a damnation, a death, and a resurrection to do it. But do it, he did. The result? Now you and I can actually dress up with Christ. As our second text suggests, we can put on of the Lord Jesus. He is literally in us, or to maintain a consistent clothing metaphor, he is literally on us. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, says Paul to his Galatian readers. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we heard Paul say to his Ephesian readers in the scripture lesson this morning. Or let's see how the hymn writer says it in the first verse of hymn 371.